Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching today from the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to begin at verse 11, which speaks of the love that believers should have for each other. And then verse 12 speaks of it mentions something here that is so important, and the title of the message is True Children of God. True Children of God. And as I look at these issues of what it is to be a child of God, and on the opposite end would be a child of Satan, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren. And that may sound strange to you. You know, somebody said, well, aren't we all children of God? Well, if you're talking about just generally in creation, you can say that every human being is a child of God by creation. But that's all that it is. To be a child of God is to be a sinner saved by grace who has been brought by the grace of God through Christ into the spiritual, eternal family of God. Now, a person who goes through life in unbelief and never comes to a saving knowledge of Christ, never becomes, by the grace of God now, a believer in Christ, that person is not a child of God. That's a child of Satan. Now, here in 1 John chapter 3, we've been going through this. John has made it very clear that if you're a true child of God, as a believer in Christ, and again, I must stress this. I know I hammer this point home, but friends, we need to understand that a person does not become a child of God, does not become saved or a Christian because they make a decision. I know people believe that today, but that's not the way it happens. Now, one who is a child of God, one who is a believer, a Christian, does make a decision, but their becoming saved, their becoming a child of God, is not based upon their decision. The decision has been made before the foundation of the world. If we were left to ourselves, the Bible teaches, and I'll show you that, the Bible teaches that if we were left to ourselves to make the decision, if we were left to our own natural inclinations, we would not choose Christ. We would choose something else, someone else, but not Christ. You see, the natural man, I quote this verse all the time on this program because it's so important. It's 1 Corinthians 2:14. And it says, the natural man. Now, what is a natural man or a woman? That's as we are born into this world naturally. Our physical birth. Remember Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. What that's telling us, and there's so many other scriptures that tell us this, that as we are fallen in Adam, you know, everybody, now, I'm sure that you sitting out there listening to me, you'd say, well, you're a sinner. Now, maybe some people wouldn't, but we're all sinners, all sin and come short of the glory of God. But as fallen in Adam, we are born naturally into a state of spiritual death and depravity. That's us by nature. I'm going to show you that in Scripture. That's why, in order to be saved, we must be born again. Unless we're born again by the Spirit, we have no heart for the gospel and for Christ and for the glory of God. We have no desire for the things of God. Even religious people now. A person can be religious and be lost. A person can even call themselves a Christian and be lost. And that's why we have the Bible. And that's why the Bible tells us, God's Word tells us, to examine ourselves to whether we be in the faith. And what that involves is basically two issues. Number one, if I claim to be a child of God, if I claim to be one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Christ, the Jesus that I claim to trust, is he the true Christ of the Bible? Now, that's the first issue of self-examination. I claim to be a Christian. I claim to believe in Jesus Christ for my whole salvation. Is the one that I'm trusting for salvation, is he truly the Christ of the Bible? You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? What if somebody says they believe in Jesus, they believe in Jesus. The Bible teaches, and especially in the last days that we're living in, that there will be false Christ. Now, that doesn't always mean somebody who comes up and claims to be the Messiah. We've had that. And they fool some people, but not many. But people will come preaching a false Christ, a false Jesus. Read passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and Galatians chapter 1. False gospels. Gospels and false gospels can be measured basically by two things. Number one, a false gospel will make salvation conditioned on sinners in some way, to some degree, at some stage. It'll be conditioned on you. The true gospel preaches salvation conditioned all on Christ, who by himself, as the surety, substitute, and redeemer of his people, fulfilled all the conditions required and ensured their salvation. And then secondly, a false gospel will always measure righteousness on a sliding scale. And righteousness in the Bible is not measured on a sliding scale. Righteousness in the Bible is measured by Christ. How righteous do we have to be? I've got to be as righteous as Christ. Well, I cannot do that. I'm a sinner. I always fall short. That's what all of sin and come short of the glory of God means. It means we always miss the mark. So how can I be as righteous as Christ? By the grace of God, based on Christ's righteousness charged to me, accounted to me, given to me freely. And what is his righteousness? It's his obedience unto death. So this issue of who is Jesus Christ, if I'm trusting the true Christ, that's the number one issue of self-examination. If I claim to be a Christian, do I really believe in the true Christ, the true gospel of God's Word? And then the second issue of self-examination is, do I really believe in Him? It's kind of like saying, am I in Him and is He in me? And how do I know that? What does the Bible say about a believer? Well, here in 1 John 3, here's what John says. He says, like in verse 9 that we left off with last time. He says, whosoever is born of God, if I'm born again, doth not commit sin. Now, if you hadn't listened to the other messages on this, you need to do so. But I'm just going to give you the short version today. What does it mean he does not commit sin? Does that mean that when you're born again, you no longer sin? Well, I got to tell you something. According to the Bible and according to the reality of our experience, if being born again means that we no longer sin, then none of us, including me, are born again. Because even those who are born again are still sinners saved by grace. Only two types of people in this world, sinners lost in their sins and sinners saved by grace. But we're still sinners. Paul relates that in Romans chapter 7, very well. And so, but what does he mean, doth not commit sin? He's talking about something specific here that believers won't do. A particular sin. And he says, for his seed remaineth in him. Christ's seed. Now, what is Christ's seed? That's the ones for whom he died. That's the ones that were given to him by the Father before the foundation of the world, and whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, born in sin, spiritually dead and depraved, but being brought by God under the preaching of the gospel, they're born again by the Holy Spirit. And they're his generation. They're his offspring. They're his seed. They're his children. That's what John's talking about. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So, in verse 9 now, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Now, what that means is, if you're born again by the Spirit, you believe in Christ, you rest in Christ, and you will not and cannot leave him. You cannot apostatize. That's the word. What does apostatize mean? It means to fall away unto perdition. Hebrews 10 and verse 38, I believe it is, says, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. You see, John is dealing with a situation where there were people who claimed to be true believers, but then they left the gospel, left the church, left Christ, and turned against him. And he says, well, they were never saved to begin with. They didn't lose their salvation. They were never saved to begin with. So verse 9 again, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. If you're his child, if you're a child of God, you'll remain in Christ. And that's only by the grace of God. You won't remain in him by your own power or your own goodness, but it's by the power of God. And he says in verse 9, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, he cannot leave Christ, because he's born of God. If you've been born again, you've been given spiritual life from Christ. That's the anointing, the unction that he spoke of over in 1 John 2:20. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And listen to this. If you're born again by the Spirit, not only do you have life, spiritual life, a new heart, new mind, new ears and eyes to see spiritually, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and he will not let you go. He will not let us go. So you cannot leave Christ. You may stray. Now, believers can stray. But I like what one old preacher in the past said. He said, we may stray away, but God's got us on a leash. I love that. The leash of his grace. We may stray away for a little while, but he'll always bring us back. He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. He said, no one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I quote John 6:37 and verses after that all the time, where Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He says, this is the will of him that has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, no one, but raise him up again at the last day. So the children of God, true children of God, who are chosen by God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, justified. That word justified means so much. It means forgiven of all my sins on a just ground. And that just ground is not my decision, not my do-gooding. It's the blood of Christ that covers my sin. And it's to be declared righteous in God's sight, not by my works or my efforts or my law-keeping, but justified based upon the works of Christ, the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. And if that's the case, then I'll be born again by the Spirit under the gospel, the true gospel. And that's why we need to know the difference between false gospels and the true gospel. But if all that's true of me, I'll be born again. The Spirit will indwell me, and I'll never leave Christ. I say these three things. You can't, if you're born again by the Spirit, as far as the preaching of the gospel and the worship of God, you cannot ignore it, you cannot deny it, and you cannot leave it. And that's all by the grace of God. Now look at verse 10. He says, in this the children of God are manifest. You see that? 1 John 3:10? In this. Now what's he talking about? In this. What is this? They're clinging to Christ, the true Christ of the Bible. They're resting in Him for all salvation, all forgiveness of all their sins. They're not looking to self. They're not looking to the preacher. They're not looking to their experiences. They're not looking to their denomination or their church or their brothers and sisters. They're looking to Christ. That's what salvation is. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there's none else. How do we run the race of grace? Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Now it doesn't stop there. The real Jesus, the true Jesus. That means salvation. Looking unto Jesus, the author. That's the one who, He's the originator of my faith. And the finisher, the completer of my faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How is He the author of it? Well, I wouldn't have faith unless He gave it to me. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, the good works are the fruit, the evidence, not the cause, not the merit, and which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So Christ is the originator of it. He's the beginning of it. And how is He the finisher of it? He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And what have I committed unto Him? My whole salvation. And so in this, the children of God are manifest, made known. How do I know I'm a child of God? Well, I'm looking to Christ. I'm resting in Him, the true Christ of the Bible. I have no other hope. That's why one of my favorite hymns, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, no matter how good it looks, no matter how emotional it makes me. I don't look to it. I look to Christ. If your assurance of salvation, listen to me very carefully here. If your assurance of salvation is based upon a decision you made while you were a child or a teenager or whenever, the fact that you walked an aisle and you say gave your heart to Jesus, my friend, that's not biblical. You know what my assurance is based upon? The blood of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. The accomplishment of all that God required of me fulfilled in Christ. That's my assurance. He's my assurance. That's what I'm telling you. And though he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now, how are the children of the devil manifest? Well, they don't cling to Christ. Those who left the gospel, left Christ, turned against Him, they're children of the devil. A person who goes through this life, never coming to faith in Christ, never trusting Him for all salvation, and dies in unbelief, that's a child of the devil. Now, let me say this. And I know people are I don't want to say, well, they are totally ignorant of these things, but you need to understand something. There is a sense that if we are true children of God, and if you're a believer, if you know the gospel, if you're submitted to the righteousness of God in Christ, that's what the gospel is. Remember, Paul wrote that in Romans 1, 16 and 17. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also," or the Gentile. And he says in verse 17 of Romans 1, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," or the justified, "shall live by faith." So what is the righteousness of God there? Well, that's the merit, the worthiness, and the power of Christ's work in his obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of his people. That's what it is. And so, that's the issue of righteousness in Christ. Now, in verse 10 here, it says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." And it says, "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Now, I'm going to talk later on about love to the brethren. What is it to not do righteousness? What does it mean to do righteousness? Over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29, look at this. It says, "If you know that he is righteous." Now, who's the he there? Well, that's Christ. I know Christ is righteous. I know he's not a sinner. He never, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he was made sin, but he was, that means by imputation. The sins of his people, the debt of his people was imputed, charged to him. And that's why he died. That's what it means that Christ is my surety. He stood in my place and took my debt, my sin debt, bore my sins on, in his body on the tree. But I know that he's righteous. He's the Holy One, holy, harmless, undefiled. Well, if you know that, verse 29, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Now, what is it to do righteousness? Over here in our text, he talks about those who doeth not righteousness. Well, righteousness, now understand, remember what I said about false gospels? They always measure righteousness on a sliding scale. Somebody says, "Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as I was." Well, in terms of human morality and dedication and sincerity and charity, that may be true of you. But that's not how God measures righteousness. See, he doesn't measure it on a sliding scale. I had a man tell me one time, he said, "Well, I'm not perfect, but I've never done anything that I deserve to go to hell. I'm not as bad as others." You see, there's that sliding scale. People who believe in progressive sanctification in the sense of getting better and better, they believe righteousness and holiness is on a sliding scale. It's not. The perfection of righteousness is only found in Christ. And so, well, what is it to do righteousness in? It's to look to, rest in, and follow Christ. That's what it is to do righteousness. That's what it is to be a servant of righteousness. I'm not righteous in myself. Nothing I do or say is perfect, but I have a perfection. I have a righteousness, and it's in Christ. It's my Savior, my Redeemer. He is, as Jeremiah said twice in his prophecy, he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. Isaiah 45 says, "In the Lord have I righteousness." Not in myself, but in him. And so, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Well, whosoever doesn't cling to Christ, submit to him for all righteousness. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the finishing, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Well, how do we become children of God? Well, turn to John chapter 1. Well, legally, those who are the children of God were chosen of God before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 talks about that. It's called the adoption of grace. God chose His people before the foundation of the world and gave them to Christ, made Christ to be our surety, and Christ willingly took our sin debt upon Himself, even before the world was created. Now, that's mind-boggling, I know, but it's true. You, like I said, read it in passages like Ephesians chapter 1 is one that comes to mind quickly. And then we fell in Adam and were born into this world in sin. We were born in trespasses and sins. And spiritually speaking, in our minds, the Bible says that even though we were chosen before the world began and adopted into His family legally, and even though Christ redeemed us on the cross, spiritually in our own minds, we were enemies of God and even following the devil. And I told you to turn to John chapter 1, but I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 first. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, the quickening there is the new birth. You've been born again. You've been raised from the dead spiritually. Verse 2, where you were dead, spiritually dead in trespasses. You were physically alive, but you were spiritually dead. And verse 2 says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." A child of disobedience is an unbeliever. And the prince of this world, that's Satan. So you were following Satan. Just like the Pharisees in John 8:44, Christ said, "You're of your father the devil." Paul was a Pharisee. But having been chosen by God before the foundation of the world and adopted into His family and redeemed by the blood of Christ, you will be regenerated, born again by the Spirit. Now, we'll pick up here next week in this message. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.